seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 82 and the third verse. Psalm 82 and verse 3. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. The 82nd Psalm and verse 3. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. This was a fervent prayer of the dear psalmist Asaph, and it was a needful prayer at that time, because the poor and the fatherless, the afflicted and the needy were all being despised and forgotten by men. And the dear psalmist Asaph longed for the Lord's appearing for such characters. Now, to bring it home to us here, are we like these? Are we poor? Are we fatherless? Are we afflicted? Are we needy? Because these things, every one of the Lord's dear chosen children will know what it is to feel it. I don't want to spend much time on the feelings of the poor and the fatherless, but really to dwell particularly on the great need of the Lord to defend such. But I just want to begin by looking a little at these poor and the fatherless, because so often, though we may be favoured with many things of this earth, and it may be said, well, we don't fall into the category of being poor in a natural way, not like many of our godly forefathers did. You think in days past how they had to pray for the Lord to provide their daily food, the clothing to put on. And they were so dependent upon the Lord because they were poor in a natural way. But every one, we can name a few from God's holy word that were rich men in natural things. We think of David when he was king of all Israel. The great prosperity that he knew naturally. And yet, what does he say? On several occasions, but I am poor and needy. And where did he feel that poverty? In his own heart. When it came to the vital things of God, how he felt so poor. And you see, poor people need help, looking at it in a natural way, looking at it spiritually. If we truly feel our poverty before the Lord, we shall need him, won't we? And we shall need him to supply all that we need, both in our souls for time and for eternity. But then he speaks of the fatherless. those that are bereaved of a loving Father who has supplied their need, provided for them, now fatherless. You know, I thought of two things that seemed to rest upon me as I thought upon this text, you know. The first was this. When Jesus was to leave his dear disciples in John 14, he spoke to them a very precious word, didn't he? And may the Holy Spirit apply it to each of us. He said to them, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The margin tells us, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Lord was to wonderfully make up the breach of those who were fatherless. You may have wondered why we read those two portions in God's holy word this morning. Well, it speaks to such. In Psalm 68 we read, a father, this is what the Lord is to his people, a father to the fatherless and a judge of the widow is God in his holy habitation. And then in the book of Job, and Job knew what it was to be bereaved of many things, didn't he? Of his loved ones, of his livelihood. And what does he say? Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. Yeah, it's a wonderful word, isn't it, really? Because I delivered the poor that cried. And you know, if you really feel your poverty and how poor you are, you'll know what it is to cry unto the Lord, won't you? What do we read in Psalm 34? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his trouble. And the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. You know, it's a searching place when we come where none can help us. But I believe the Lord brings every one of his dear children to that point, maybe many times in their life, where none can help them. And it's when we're brought there, it's then we need the Lord. When most, the hymn writer said, we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Deliver, defend, he says, the poor and fatherless. Now, the second thing that I was going to name was this. years ago, I think it's in one of the old gleaners, there's the account of a little gypsy girl that dwelt in a caravan with her parents and the family, and they were in this village for a time, and she used to go on the Lord's Day morning to chapel in the little chapel in the village. Her parents were very anti-chapel and bitterly opposed her going. And she continued to go. She was in need. She wanted to hear the Lord's voice. She wanted to know more of him. And eventually her parents said to her, well, if you continue to go, we will turn you out of our home. You'll be just left homeless. And you know, the Lord dropped those words into her heart, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And you know, when they said to her on that Sabbath morn, as she was about to go out to go to the house of God, they would turn her out. She quoted those words to them, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And you know, the Lord so used it to bring them to know they needed a God, they needed a Saviour, just like she did. You see, the Lord moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And we read, don't we? And so often it's been so, a little child shall lead them. So he says here, defend the poor and fatherless. Now, they need defending, don't they? Because they're helpless. They've got no power themselves. They need defending. And let us look at it a little as helped. Let's bring it right home to us each. Do we not need the Lord to defend us? We hear of the solemn threats of terrorism and many things that threaten this land and many places of the earth today. But oh, that the Lord would defend us. And we need defending in many ways, not only naturally and outwardly, we need defending in our souls. And I want to look as help to a few things here. First of all, let us look at our own hearts. Do you feel the need the Lord to defend you today? In your soul, in your inmost heart? What do we need defending from? Well, seeing we're so poor, seeing we're fatherless, it's a great loss, you know, if I may just inject this, to lose a father. To be fatherless. My father was taken now over 30 years ago, and we've been fatherless ever since. And, you know, many ways, even now after 30 years, I miss him. The loss, you say, is felt by the fatherless. And think about it in your heart. There's many things you need defending, isn't there, from? You need defending from yourself. How often we have to pray, Lord, keep us from ourselves. It's only the Lord that can defend us from our old nature. Because it's so corrupt, it's so vile, it's full of sin, and we need defending from it, because if we are left to ourselves, we can be in a wrong spirit, we can say wrong things, and we can soon be drawn aside into the world. The Lord will teach his dear people the great need of the Lord to defend them from himself. The apostle knew it, didn't he, when he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He needed defending from all those evils that were in his own heart. Oh, he did. To be kept from them. Oh, you think, as the Holy Word of God tells us, what proceeds out of the heart. You can read it in God's holy word. The evils there are within. The world don't know anything of that, do they? But the child of God does, because the Lord shows them what's within them. And what did the apostle go on to say? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Job said, behold, I am vile. And oh, he looked at his poor body, he looked at his poor soul and saw the vileness there was there. Defend the poor. We need to pray this every day, don't we really? Lord, defend us and save us from ourselves. But then we need defending from Satan. You see, the adversary is a powerful foe. He doesn't trouble the world, does he? But he troubles the child of God. He's an arch enemy to the real child of God that fears the Lord. And he attacks. And he's not short of ammunition. And he'll use all the agents he can find to attack God's dear children. And really, as he attacks the child of God, he's trying to destroy their little hope. He's trying to destroy what God has done for them and worked in them. And he's not only trying to destroy the child of God, but he's trying to attack the Lord. Oh, he is continually on attack. Well, really, if you look in the case of the Lord Jesus himself, when he walked this earth, how Satan was continually attacking him from the very moment of his birth. The adversary was at work. Satan. But you look how wonderfully the Lord of life and glory was defended. They couldn't even touch his life or take it from him, could he? Could they? He said, didn't he, to the enemies, the scribes and Pharisees, when they were on the attack against the dear Redeemer, he says, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again. And you look how wonderfully it was manifested that when the soldiers came and broke the legs of the malefactors been on the cross and they came to Jesus and found that he was dead already. He laid down his precious life. Not a bone of him was to be broken. But you look at the resurrection morn. I have power to take it again. And when that resurrection morn came, you know, he just took it again, didn't he? Oh, he did. Every word that he spoke was to be accomplished. Defend the poor and fatherless. But then not only do we need defending against Satan. You see, right the way through the Word of God, we find so many blessed evidences of the Lord defending his people. You can go to the Red Sea and look how the Lord defended the children of Israel from Pharaoh and all his house. You can go to the case of Hezekiah. You know, there's a wonderful word the Lord spoke through the prophet to Hezekiah. And it's this. The Lord said to Isaiah, go and say to Hezekiah, I am the God of David, thy father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And then listen. And I will defend this city. This is what the Lord told him. And you look how the Lord defended Hezekiah from the affliction he was in. Look how he defended Hezekiah from all the sin that dwelt in him. And look how he defended Hezekiah from the Assyrian army. And not only from the Assyrian army, but too from himself and all the evil suggestions in his own heart. But look how he defended the city of Jerusalem. The Lord did it. I will defend this city. You know, you'd be a happy soul this morning if the Lord spoke that word to you. Satan may be attacking you on the right hand. He may be attacking you on the left. He's tempting you and saying your religion is all vain. It's only of man. But I will defend this city. And when he said this city, that means all the election of grace. It means in your poor heart and mine, if we're among his children, I will defend this city. And you look how the Lord did. He defended against all the power of those enemies. I will defend this city. You know, it was very sweet to me when I woke this morning. The Lord seemed to drop that in, thinking of this text, I will defend this city. And when the Lord defends it, nothing can break through it. All the powers of Satan, the powers of evil, violent men, can never penetrate if God says, I will defend this city. They may threaten, they may roar. And you look how the Lord wonderfully defended the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. I often mention it, but it's such a real case, you see. There they were. The enemies were permitted even to cast them into the fire and into the furnace. It didn't matter how much they strengthened that furnace. Look how the Lord defended them. Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. They came out without even the smell of smoke upon them. The Lord defended them. And you see, what the Lord did, and there's a beautiful word, I think it's in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. I remember my late dear uncle, a deacon at Staplers, he was going to the service at Cranbrook one Lord's Day evening. And as he got to Wellesley Pound Crossroads, and on the main road he was travelling, a car came straight out of that crossroads and hit the front of his car and sent him right into a tree. And he said, when I came to rest in this tree, he said, immediately the Lord spoke, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And he said, as I sat in that car, all crumpled up around this tree, he said, I verily felt the angel of the Lord encamping round about me. And you know, apart from shock, he came out unscathed. But you know, it was a wonderful, he never forgot that, you know, how the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Defending them, you see, protecting them, preserving them. And here, these poor, these fatherless. Now, are you in this? You need that defence, don't you? You need that protection of the Lord to surround you. We hope to sing at the close, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. And he encamps round about his dear people. You see, that angel of the Lord that encampeth round about his dear people is none other than a precious Jesus. The angel of the Lord. The Lord promised, didn't he, the children of Israel, behold, I send my angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee unto the place which I have prepared for thee. There's just another point I just want to name here. Defend the poor and fatherless. The margin tells us, judge the poor and fatherless. You see, a judge, you go to a court, a judge controls that court and all that goes on in it and makes right judgments on it. He's there to judge the case. Now look at it spiritually. This is what the Lord is. He is the righteous judge. We sing in that hymn, when thou, my righteous judge, shall come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand. The day will come when we shall have to stand before the judge of the whole earth. None will escape this. But while his dear children are here in this earth, he's a judge to them. He is. And that judge, you see, looking at it naturally, he controls all that goes on in that court. And look at it regarding God's dear children. He controls the minutest circumstance of your life and mine. We sing in the hymn, don't we? My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And you think how wonderful that is. The very minutest thing, nothing comes by chance. The hymn writer said, the fictitious power of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And the Lord, you see, he judges these poor. He knows exactly what they need. But he will be inquired of to do these things for them. He knows what you need before you even ask or before you even think. And he controls everything, you see. The judge in the court will rule on everything. We will. And think about it spiritually in your heart and pathway. He rules on everything. He controls everything. He knows, you go into Psalm 139. You think of what the dear psalmist David said. Thou knowest my down sittings, mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off, and art acquainted with all my ways. It's wonderful, isn't it, really? So well could Asaph say, defend the poor and fatherless. Watch over them, protect them, preserve them, supply their need. You see, anything in a court can be supplied by that judge. He controls it. He rules. And think about it today, it's a wonderful mercy amidst all the solemn things that are taking place through the earth. The Lord is in control. He sits on no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to be. Defend the poor and fatherless. You young people in thinking of the evil day in which you're growing up in, you go to this sovereign protector, the Lord himself, who can defend you against all the accusations of those that hate Christianity, hate real religion. The Lord can defend you. You know, there's been some wonderful accounts of many of God's dear children that were delivered in the past war, in the Second World War and in the First, you know. How wonderfully the Lord defended them, protected them, watched over them. We heard about the dear servant of God that passed away the other week at the funeral on Thursday. How when the house he was in was bombed in the war. And there in amidst all the rubble, the dear man said, I'd never felt it with such sweetness and power before. The love of Christ surrounding him. You see, if that surrounds you, there's your protection. There's your defense. And it was the Lord so used it, you see, to abundantly bless him and fill him with the love of Christ. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Now, I may not have named exactly where you need defending today, because let's pause a moment. Satan knows the weakest points in each one of us. Each of us have a weak point. It's like a chain. The strength of the chain is in the weakest point, because that'll be the first that will break. And you see, the Lord, he knows in your poor heart, in your life, all that you need defending in. And it may be, why the Lord's given me this text, that you're going to need this, and I will for the future. We need continually the Lord to defend us. You think of David. How many times he needed defending. He needed defending from Goliath, that great giant. Look how the Lord defended him. He didn't need the armour of Goliath, did he? He didn't need the spear and the shield and a Philistine army to back him up. All he needed was one pebble from the brook, directed by heaven. And not only did Goliath fall to the ground, but the Philistines fled when they saw their giant destroyed. The Lord wonderfully defended him. And then you think of the times the Lord defended David from Saul, when Saul hunted him as a partridge upon the mountains, was out to destroy David, but he couldn't, could he? The Lord, you see, defended poor David on so many occasions. And look how he defended him right the way through his life. And we read, and I've often quoted it, that when he came to the end of his life, we read that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies. He could look back through his life and see the sovereign defence of his God. The Lord never fails his dear people, you know. He will ever defend them. A word of warning. Sometimes we think we can defend ourselves, don't we? But we need to be very careful It's far better to leave. You may be falsely accused in something, or some are out to attack you, and you think, well, I'll build this defence and I will say this and that. You leave the defending to the Lord. He can defend. Oh, he can. Against all false accusations of man and of Satan. And you look how the Lord defended his beloved son, the Lord Jesus, when Satan attacked him those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Defend the poor. Those that are so helpless, those that have got nothing in and of themselves, Lord, defend them. We are but fools, aren't we? And we need defending. And then he says, do justice to the afflicted. That is to say, he does that which is right for those afflicted. He governs them. He controls all the afflictions they come into. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. The afflicted. The Lord said, didn't he, I will leave in the midst of you a poor and afflicted people. And for the most part, you know, that is the pathway that every true child of God has to walk in. They have many afflictions. We're told in Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You see, when we look at affliction, we don't just think of affliction, I know that is so, but a body. There are many afflictions. You could, you know, if you look down all the list of afflictions there are throughout the earth, of affecting poor man's body. But you think about it with God's dear people, they are not just afflicted in their bodies. Many are, we know. And as we get older, we get more afflictions. But there are afflictions in our souls. We're afflicted by sin, aren't we? He doesn't afflict the world. He doesn't trouble them. They can go further and further wallowing in sin. And man will by nature. But it afflicts the child of God. Oh, the afflictions within. But you see, the Lord has promised here justice to the afflicted. He sent his beloved son, who knew much affliction. Oh, he did. And yet he knew no sin. We're often afflicted because of our sin. But he was afflicted. You read Isaiah 53 and 63 as well. And you say, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. And he bare them all the days of old. But then, affliction in God's word meant things in providence. Afflicted in circumstances. Afflicted in family. You know, the troubles Jacob had, it was a deep affliction to him. Some of the Lord's dear people, you know, their families caused them much affliction. He meant anything that caused pain and anguish. And so he says here, justice to the afflicted. And the Lord will deal justly and rightly with those that are afflicted. Oh, he will. And he will sanctify those afflictions to his dear people. Makes all the difference, you know, when the Lord sanctifies an affliction, because he makes the very bitter part of that affliction sweet. Oh, he does. justice to the afflicted and needy. Do you not come in with that and say, Lord, that's just what I am. I'm needy. You see, a person that's needy is in real need. It may be in their souls. It may be in their pathway. Or that some of the things they're walking in, they feel such a need of the Lord's appearing. A need for him to work. A need for him to provide. And so this prayer, you see, of dear Asaph, it is so necessary for God's dear children. Well, if nothing this morning, I preach it to myself, because there's so many things we need the Lord to defend us in and to help us in and to undertake for us in, isn't it? We feel our poverty. We feel our fatherless state. We feel the afflictions. We feel how needy we are. Now, these characters are dependent upon the Lord. They can't go anywhere else. They know only He can supply what they need. Only He can defend them. Only He can undertake for them. And may we be found like the spouse in the Song of Solomon, then I must leave it because of the time, leaning upon her beloved. And those that lean on him, he will never fail and he'll never forsake them.